On today's podcast, Take 12, Odessa by the Bee Gees.
Trust the Wizards present Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s. Before going on tour with his band, Guided by Voices, in 2001, Robert Pollard recorded his favourite records onto 62 double-sided cassettes. Music from 1966 to 1971, from the best-known bands of the era to obscure, unheard-of psychedelic curios. The Wizards are on a mission to listen to and explore every groove. Kicker and Chorizo invite you to turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream as you listen to Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the great success of the last Bee Gees album we looked at. We're now going to look at a double album. This is the album Odessa, which was released in March 1969. Actually, the Bee Gees' sixth album, but their fourth released outside of Australasia. And it's I've got it. It's on double vinyl. You can have a little look there. Look at that. A bit shiny, you'll notice there.
A
bit shiny. This is not an original. Although it says the original Bee Gees on it, it's not an original release. The original release came out in a flock cover, which I take to mean sort of fluffy. But apparently there were problems with it on the assembly line, and people were becoming allergic. So people were having an allergic reaction to the cover. So I don't know how that relates to or is any sort of a metaphor for how we're going to describe the album. But nonetheless, it still reached number 10 in the UK and top 20 in the US. It's thought of as a kind of a concept album, although I think probably not really. Certainly the first song is lends itself to that view about this lost ship. Some of the promo stuff around the album described it as an American opera. Makes me worry a little bit, but it's not quite that. Actually, in 1976, it was re-released as a single album. And as we go through, I'll let you know which songs were on the single album as opposed to the double album. But it is described as ambitious, and also as being one of the 1001 albums you need to hear before you die. So we're going to take it side by side, right?
Yeah. Just to go back to what you said about flock. So flock there's a thing called flock wallpaper, right? But that's nothing to do with sheep's wool.
I think it's slightly fluffy, but it's furry. It's furry to touch, I think.
Yeah. So I wonder what it was made of. If people had an allergic reaction to the sleeve, maybe it had some kind of animal product in it.
Yes, I really don't know. I perhaps should have done some research.
Let's go on to side one then. So side one starts with the title track.
Yes.
And there's around about three or four songs, isn't there, on each of the four sides of the album. And the title track is the longest song on the album by some distance. And if it had been a concept album, I'm not too keen on the title track, but I do think the lyrics are quite interesting. It's some kind of trippy shipwreck thing, isn't it? Where a British ship, Veronica, is lost without a sign.
When you say trippy, do you mean someone going on a trip?
Or both. Both. Because there's... there's also, he says, I'm on an iceberg running free, and I'm sitting and I'm filing this iceberg into the shape of a ship, sailing me my way back to your lips. And then there's a few bizarre lines. You love the vicar more than words can say. Tell him to pray that I won't melt away. I just can't understand why you just moved to Finland. You know, there's some...
Rough. Yes, well, absolutely. I mean, it's an odd song, isn't it? And, I mean, it is a concept in itself. It's clearly about a survivor of a shipwreck. The basis of the concept is that there was a ship called the Veronica, I think, and which is the one that's mentioned, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's presented in a very dramatic sort of way. But as you say, there's so much going on. So I made a little list here, some of which you've already said, but I've got harps, flamenco, guitar... mock Gregorian chant, bar black sheep, icebergs, vicars, Finland, neighbours, dogs. Oh, that's the end of my list, actually. But that's quite the character list, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't find the music very interesting, but there was one particular thing I didn't like about it, which is gonna be a recurrent theme on this, which is the wobbly wobbly vocals of Robin Gibb. Which,
yeah, Robin Gibb's vocals are tiresome, aren't they? Really?
That I don't like them at all. I didn't look to see which singer was singing on these various songs on the album, but until just yesterday, when I noticed, and I hadn't really noticed this before, I noticed that pretty much exclusively, I really don't like the ones that Robin sings on. It's that kind of histrionic, where he's got too much vibrato there, and it's just quite annoying, I'm afraid to say.
No, I mean, absolutely. Well, I did make a note of who sang each song, and I can tell you that the only songs that I like are sung by Barry. I do actually quite like his voice. I think Barry Gibb is a good set. Yeah, Robin's the cello on the opening track's all right. I quite like that. Should we skip over that, though, and go to the next one? Because that is Barry singing that, so you'll never see my face again. I quite like that one.
Yeah, me too.
Simon and Garfunkel-y, I thought. Quite pleasant. I mean, you'll never see my face again. It sounds quite threatening. It's really not positively 4th Street, though, is it? I mean, it's fairly gentle in a way.
Yeah, I can see why you mentioned positively 4th Street. There's in the arrangement, there's Dylan throughout this. There's nearly all of this album has got acoustic guitar as a sort of quite a key instrument. Vocals I thought were very John Lennon-y, and it's a very simple song, just verse chorus, and the arrangement, the string arrangement, really good. Yeah, and again, the lyrics, there are bits in there, says, "You think you can stand and lie, it makes me laugh, you've got no friends, it took 1,000 years to find out why you'll never see my face again," and that is a bit of that bitter recrimination of positively 4th Street and idiot Win Dylan that we love so much. That's really the only one on side one that I enjoy.
Well, the other one's another Robin one, isn't it? And it's a fairly generic ballady thing, but it's annoying because it's sung by Robin Gibb.
Well, yeah, I quite like the song, but it's his vocals, especially the bit where it goes, "He was leaving in the morning." There's one particular bit which I don't like. And I'm trying to place why I don't like it, because it's kind of crooning, but I like, you know, and I mentioned on the last one, Scott Walker and the Walker Brothers, I like a bit of that. I like a bit of Engelbert Humperdinck, I like a bit of 60s Tom Jones, Gene Pitney, all those guys. But what I think they've got in their voice, which Robin doesn't have, is they've just got a bit more bass, a bit more oomph, a bit more resonance. And for some reason, I don't find Robin's voice a pleasant one to listen to. But we should probably not keep going on and on about we don't like Robin's voice.
No, I think that's a given now, isn't it? It's a given. But it probably would explain why we almost certainly skip over the songs where he takes lead vocals. Well, flip the record over, and actually the next one, could you feel the weight of the band on the next one?
I could feel, I could see the light. Of Creedence Clearwater Revival. I was quite surprised because I looked it up. It sounds so much like As Long As I Can See the Light by Creedence Clearwater Revival, and it also sounds a lot like The Mighty Quinn, Manfred Mann, melodically, I mean.
Well, I think it's great by the band. That was the point of my little thing there.
Yeah, no, I got the reference, don't worry. But, Creedence Clearwater Revival...
I like it. It's all right.
Yeah, I really like it too. Creedence Clearwater Revival actually had hardly had any hits at this point, so it's not the Bee Gees aping them, it's more that Creedence Clearwater Revival, you know, came along after that. But I definitely think the Manfred Mann's hit version of Mighty Quinn, that was early 1968, so about a year before, and the Dylan version, which hadn't been officially released, but was on the widely bootlegged basement tapes, that was a couple of years before. I thought it was very catchy. It was interesting to hear them do something that with a bit of sort of bit more country swing to it, and I like the lyrics about the 15 kids and the family on the skids. You know, it's quite funny lyrics.
Well, is it funny? I mean, we're talking about the song Marley Pert Drive, and it starts off. It's basically about a married man in poverty with 15 children, and the fact that he needs to go out for a drive on a Sunday to give himself a bit of him time. Yeah. But the sort of the payoff line is that when he comes back, he's talking about it being an orphanage, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, his twist in the tale is that he's not actually a man who has 15 children of his own, but he's looking after an orphanage, which is rather nice.
It It is rather nice, but I still imagine that it, even if you look after 15 kids in an orphanage, you still need to go out and get a bit of time by yourself now and again. I imagine it's quite tiring.
Yeah, no, that's, I thought that was an all right one, that. And that's followed by a song that is not Edison Museum by They Might Be Giants, and it's not Edison's Memos by Robert Pollard.
No.
But it follows that theme.
Nor is it Love Goes Where My Rosemary Grows by Edison Lighthouse either. But I didn't like that one. I thought it was very silly. The tune's quite annoying. And I don't really like it at all.
No.
Should we move on?
How about the next one? There's a falsetto on that one.
Yeah.
That's up your street, isn't it? You love the falsetto.
No, the next one I like is really that. I like on this, on side two, I like the first song, Merle Pert Drive. And I like the last song, Whisper Whisper. The melody, fair, it's all right. Mm. It's very Beatlesy. It's a bit too Beatlesy for my taste. And not, you know, just because it's, as we said with their last album that we reviewed, it's just nothing, there's nothing original in it. It's fine, but it's just not particularly memorable.
I thought that was a song that that Scott Walker might do, actually, Whisper Whisper. I thought that would... Back, you know, not now, obviously. I quite like the song before that as well. Suddenly, I thought that's all right. I don't know what it is. Is it a synthesizer? There's a little keyboardy hook thing that's on it, which I really like. Although the lyrics aren't so good, but they're certainly better than Melody Fair, which is fairly awful lyrically.
I wanted to like Suddenly because I found out yesterday that it's the only song which Morris sings the lead vocals on, and so I kind of wanted to like it just to kind of support the underdog because he doesn't get to. You know, sing lead vocals very much. It was quite intriguing musically. Not that memorable. It's really Whisper Whisper is the other one on this side. I like that. That's quite Beatlesy. Reminded me quite a lot of She's a Woman, and it's a bit like some of the late Beatles. Again, the acoustic guitar is really good. It drives it along. It's a simple three chord song. But Stop Me and Buy One, and you know the string interlude bit really good. And then in the last minute or so, it's still the same song, but it just goes faster and turns into almost like a Northern Soul stomper with the brass, which is quite reminiscent of These Boots Are Made for Walking and stuff like that, or even a little bit sort of easy listening, Sid Lawrence Orchestra or Ronnie Hazelhurst. And the lyrics were interesting. I thought they were kind of about taking drugs. Whisper, whisper, keep it quiet. If you like it, you can try it too. Stop me and buy one. I am illegal. And that means so are you. But also it could be about sort of the free love movement, as it would have been called then, because it's I am man and you are woman. Who needs marriage? We are humans all. If I could please you, I'd rouse you and ease you. Yeah, but it's good. It's a good tune. And it's interesting.
I agree with you about the end of the song as well. I do like the last bit. I think that makes it. I would say that's side two. Of the double album is definitely the strongest side for me.
Well, let's go on to side three. I'd say that's definitely, for my money, that's the weakest side of the album, is side three. There's very little that I liked here.
But surely everybody loves The Sound of Love.
Well, that song, I like the song, and I could imagine that being covered by, you know, Dusty Springfield or Scott Walker or somebody like that, and it would be fantastic. I just don't think the performance of it is particularly good. In fact, I think Barry is that on that one, and he's suddenly gone a bit wobbly-wobbly with his vocals as well, almost like he's impersonating his brother.
Well, James covered it.
All right. Yeah, well, I'd like to hear that. It's a good song. I just didn't particularly like their version of it.
See, for me, obviously there's a Robin song at the beginning, which we're not going to like, are we? But why does it start in French? That really worries me, that lamplight. Then you've got Give Your Best, which I suppose is supposed to be funny, but it just annoyed me. Is that a hoedown, that one? I don't know. And then two instrumentals.
It's a square dance.
It's a square dance.
Yeah, they keep saying it's a square dance in the start of the song, and that's quite annoying as well. Very, very silly. It's a little bit Creedence Clearwater Revival, but it's really not very good. And then, the two instrumentals...
No, I didn't like anything else like that.
I didn't mind the first instrumental, the Seven Seas Symphony, which is basically piano, Maurice Gibb on piano and orchestra. And I quite liked, you know, the it was catchy and it's very kind of passionate. It sounds like a love theme from a soppy film. It's very romantic piano and strings. I didn't mind that. And then the last song, which is called With All Nations International Anthem, does sound like some kind of national anthem. It's certainly very stirring, but, you know, does nothing for me.
No, it's very unusual that you've got, across a double album, you've got two instrumentals and you put them back to back. That seems a very odd decision to make that, no?
Yeah. Well, it's an odd decision to put that international anthem on the album, full stop, I think. But the same with the last song. I'd be interested to know, which of these made the single album version?
Any of the songs that we've talked about?
No, but I mean...
A lot of them did. So the song, it's easy to say the song so far not on it. From side one, Black Diamond's not on the single album. Edison been kicked off, so you won't be upset about that. Amazingly, Suddenly and Whisper are both taken off the album.
Right.
Lamplight's taken off the album. And the Seven Seas Symphony, which you quite liked, off. And the With All Nations on.
Well, that's going to make an even worse album.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is, yeah.
Because they've taken off Whisper, which is one of the best songs on the whole double album.
Yeah.
And they've kept nearly all the ones that are really, really stupid. Yeah.
I don't know if recharted as a single album. I couldn't tell you.
But 1976, that was too early to have been re-released on the back of Saturday Night Fever. So I wonder what was the thinking in re-releasing it. Does it be interesting? It's not. What were they trying to say? Maybe they were trying to make it into a more proggy album for 76? I don't know.
I don't know, who can say. Anyway, we've got another site to go through, yes.
We have, yeah.
And three of the four songs on that are on the single album. You'd be very glad to know. I don't think I like any of the songs on this last side. There was a hit. First of May was a hit.
Was it?
First of May, a hit single. Number six, made number six in the UK.
Right.
First of May. For me, the only interesting thing about that song, there's a couple of interesting things about that song. Firstly, the first of May... the title of the song doesn't appear, I don't think, in the song at all. Happens to be the birthday of Barry's dog, or Barry's dog at the time. That makes me like it a little bit. Let me ask you this question logically then. So, you know, when I was small and Christmas trees were tall, okay, fine.
Yes.
As a child, tree, all right. But then now we are tall and Christmas trees are small. How big is he? What's going on there? He's now much bigger than the 6-foot Christmas tree.
Yes, we get what he's trying to say. You used to be a little kid, and now you're a grown-up. But it's terrible writing. It's just a trite lyric. I mean, like you say, nobody's that tall that Christmas trees seem small. Nobody has ever been asked, please give me an adjective to describe a Christmas tree. And I'm going, they're very small, aren't they? Very small Christmas trees. It's a lazy and stupid rhyme. I was going to say I can't get past that and it spoils the song for me. But really, even without that, I really don't like that song. Yeah. Right at the end, in this kind of fade out, they sing that first verse again and they sing, when I was small and Christmas trees were tall. And then they just go, do, 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 do. I mean, write some proper lyrics, man. And it's not that's not even the end of the song, because it's literally just one line, and then they go, don't ask me why time has passed me by, someone else moved in, and they keep on going, but it just write a line there. Come on. Do 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 do.
Well, you see, what do you know it was a hit, number six. And how many number six hits have you had?
Well,
with your lyrics, eh?
Exactly. None. But it's a terrible, terrible lyric.
To be honest, I laugh in your face.
Yeah. See the two songs that precede it, I like them both.
Yeah.
I like in Your Face, and I like Never Say Never Again. Right. I'll talk about Laugh in Your Face first, because that's the open side four. Mm. It's got the sort of minor key verse and the major key chorus. It's got a few intriguing lyrics, but it's also just a good pop song. Harmony vocals on the chorus are great. The circus is coming to see you. The elephant smiles. Everyone can hear You say that that's out of style. And then I like the bit in the second verse, I'll pull out your plug so you're small. You'll slide down the drain on the steps of St. Peter's. You all look the same. Quite like that one. I found it quite interesting. I could listen to that one again. And then the next song, Never Say Never Again, which again comes back to a little bit of that. It's definitely very John Lennon. It's a bit Bob Dylan. Clearly, like a few of these songs, which are the more pop songs, it's been written on acoustic guitar, and you can hear the acoustic guitar quite high in the mix, and the string arrangement's great. And I really like the chorus. Never say, never say, never say, never again. Never say, never say, never again. You said goodbye. I declared war on Spain. Never say never again. I mean, who amongst us has not ever been left by a partner and then thought, wow, I'm so angry about this, I'm going to declare war on Spain. I know that's certainly what happened with President William McKinley, who started the Spanish-American War, of course. But Robin, that was Robin's line, and Robin had said to the others that he wanted to write a song with that line, I declared war on Spain, and this is a quote from Robin. He said, well, instead, Barry wanted something so normal that it was ridiculous. He said my words was unromantic. But what could be more normal than a man in love wanting to declare war on anything that was to him unlovely? Well, I mean, that's an interesting quote. I mean, I'd like to know why he's saying that Spain is unlovely. I've been to Spain. It's quite nice. But
I'd agree.
I just thought that line jumps out at me and makes me smile. It just reminds me of Morrissey's line where he says, I travelled north, I travelled south, I got confused, I killed a horse. I can't, you know, it's just so random. It's just thrown in there and it just makes me smile. But also, it's a good song. It's catchy. Okay, those two songs that start side four, I'll gladly listen to those again. And there's not
well, good. I mean, I would agree with you on that line. That is the one standout line from that song. I had it basically as better than the song preceded it, but fairly drippy, really. I laugh in your face, though. I mean, okay, my brother is friendly for reasons. That's a terrible lyric. I mean, honestly, that's a terrible lyric.
I didn't notice that.
Fine.
I quite like those two songs, but then I've got no time at all for the 1st of May, although I'm slightly more keen on it now that I know that it might be about Barry's dog. You know,
no, I don't think it is. I don't think it's about his dog. I think that's it's just that the title came from that. So that once you got past the title, you've got all the good bits out of the way. And it finishes with another instrumental, which...
Yeah, no, it's another sort of thing that sounds like an anthem, doesn't it? It's very dramatic, but I'm not sure it adds much, if anything, to the album. Just going back to Barry and his dog, set me thinking. You know, the Bee Gees. You know, they say that dogs start to resemble their owners. I'm just thinking if the three Bee Gees. And thinking of like 70s Barry, 70s disco Saturday Night Fever Barry, he looks a bit like a dog, doesn't he? He looks a bit like a red setter with slightly lighter hair, don't you think?
I was going to say an Afghan hound.
That's a good shout as well, yeah. But Robin, he's definitely more, I'd say he's more poodle. What would you say?
Chipmunk.
No, I don't think that's technically a dog.
Oh, right, okay.
What about Morris? What's
a really toothy dog?
I don't know.
Morris is obviously a one of those bald dogs, no hair. He went quite early, didn't he? I don't know. I wanted to talk about Robin, because you said Robin wrote that one good line in that Never Say Never Again.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he walked out on these recordings. Were you aware of this? He had a bit of a tiff here, and it was all to do with the recording of the song Lamplight, which we kind of skipped over, really. He walked out when it was decided that that wouldn't be the single. In that 1st of May was the single, you can kind of see where he's coming from, right? Well, you're going to compare those two songs.
Well, I don't like either of them. I dislike Lamplight slightly less than I dislike First of
really?
May, I suppose, yes. Like the song's all right, it's a bit, it's quite grand and stuff, but I just can't stand the vocals. There's little bits in the song that I think, well, this would be great if like Roy Orbison was singing this, or I go back to what I said before, Gene Pitney, it would be great.
Well, it's an interesting album to listen to, isn't it? And obviously, I own it purely because Robert Pollard had it on this list. But I do like two or three of the songs, and I think they're quite the sort of song that you might put on a playlist.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, who's that? Quite good.
Yeah.
And it, you know, might come first. So, I mean, top songs for me, Marley Pert Drive, Whisper, Whisper, Suddenly, and Sound of Love would be my top four.
Yeah, okay. Well, Whisper, Whisper and Marley Pert Drive would be in my top three as well, with Never Say Never Again. And but the I also like You'll Never See My Face Again and I Laugh in Your Face. The Face songs. I was going to say the Face trilogy, but it's not a trilogy, is it?
Is there only two?
What's that? What's a trilogy if there's only two?
Well, that's two-thirds of a trilogy, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, I like those five. There's a few others where I like the song, but I just don't like that particular performance of it. Like Lamplight and Black Diamond, and the opening song and Sound of Love, which, as I said before, is Barry singing, but he's starting to go up very high and very very vibrato, like he's almost imitating Robin. Yeah. But I like the song a lot. I will check out Etta James's version of it. There's too many others that I could
do. There are quite a few songs that we don't like. Melody Fair, Lamplighter, we don't like. Give Your Best, that's awful. With All Nations, First of May, dreadful, dreadful songs that, frankly, I've found quite upsetting to have to listen to repeatedly.
Yeah, well, Give Your Best, I totally agree with you. Edison is rubbish, as we both put quite eloquently, why we don't like First of May. And the two big, like as I said before, I quite like Seven Seas Symphony, but I don't like the other two big sort of grandiose instrumentals. Don't like them at all. So, you know, 5 out of 17 songs, that is. So I can't give it a very high score, really, can I? The songs I like, I do like quite a lot, and I probably will go back and listen to them again. But I think I'll go for 4.5 out of 10 again.
Well, I certainly don't like this one as much as the first album, which is the one we listened to last time. And I gave it 5.5, mostly because it's got one brilliant song in it. Yeah, I actually wrote down exactly the same as you. I've got 4.5 for this one. Side two, I might give more than that. If we're just doing a marking of sides, I think side two, I'd probably give a 6. That's the side that I quite like. But 4.5 for me for this one as well. So not quite as good. But we have another Bee Gees album to listen to as part of our project. We're listening to the album that actually came before this one. We're going in not in chronological order. So that's the Bee Gees album Horizontal we're going to listen to next. Okay. And we're also going to listen to the Graham Goldman Thing album. And that's a little bit of breakaway from... That's by Graham Goldman.
Oh, good.
Is it Goldman or Goldman?
I don't know. Let's discuss it next time.
Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s is a Trust the Wizards production. You can find out more at pollard60s.com and on Twitter at pollard60s. If you liked it, then please subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts. You may also enjoy their other podcast, which you can find at trustthewizards.com. Original music by the Malibu Storks. Kicker of Elves and Chorizo Garbanzo are currently appearing in Waiting for Godot at the Mail Theatre in Leeds.